around stewardship. We're going to call it generous living. And I know whenever the topic of stewardship comes up, people begin to wonder, is there a pledge that's going to be asked of us, or is there a check that we're going to need to write at the end of this sermon? That tends to be associated with stewardship, right? There's always a stewardship season. And I just want to assure you right now, you can relax the wallets. You can let go of the purses. There will be no pledge asked of you today. No check needs to be written. We want to talk about stewardship now, when it's not stewardship season, if you will, because it's important. It's important because as followers of Jesus, we live in a society that gives us all sorts of messages about who we are and what we do with what we have. How do we understand what we have? And how do we use it well? That's the questions of stewardship. And so it's too important to leave for, you know, one Sunday a year when there's this ulterior motive of we need your money, right? Let's get real. It's bigger than that. So next few weeks, we're going to look into a few different passages that just help us to begin thinking through and exploring the questions of stewardship. What do I do with what I've been given? What's God's expectations and hopes for what we do with what God has given us? So this morning, we begin in Mark chapter 6, in probably one of the best known miracles of Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000. How many of you know this story? You've probably heard it, read it, familiar with it, right? It is one of those stories. It's so familiar because, one, it's in all four of our Gospels. It's the only miracle story, apart from the resurrection, that we have in all four Gospels. So it's familiar. Each Gospel writer said, we need to make sure people know about this. And I think not just because of the miraculous activity that takes place there, but because of what it tells us about who Jesus is calling us to be and how we are to live with what we have. So let's jump into it here. Mark chapter 6, verse 30 begins by saying, now the apostles returned to Jesus and told him everything they had done and taught. Many people were coming and going, so there wasn't even time to eat. And Jesus said to the apostles, come by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while. So they departed in a boat by themselves for a deserted place. Sounds nice, right? We need some time. Let's get away. Let's rest. But many people saw them leaving and recognized them, so they ran ahead from all the cities and arrived before them. And when Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And then he began to teach them many things. Now, late in the day, imagine now several hours have passed, his disciples came to him and said, Jesus, this is an isolated place. It's already late in the day. Send them away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy something to eat for themselves. It seems like a good plan, doesn't it? It's a big crowd. Jesus, send them away, or else this is going to get out of hand. But Jesus replied, and he said, You, give them something to eat. But they said to him, oh, should we go off and buy bread with almost 8 months' pay and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, well, how much bread do you have? Take a look. And after checking, they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so he directed the disciples to seat all the people in groups as though they were having a banquet on the grass. And they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven, and he blessed them, and he broke the loaves into pieces, and he gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and he divided the fish among them all, and everyone ate until they were full. And they filled 12 baskets with the leftover pieces of bread and fish. About 5,000 had eaten, probably more than that. Well, friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Lord, we are familiar with this story, with this miracle, with the feeding. May you make it new. May we hear it afresh this day, and your Spirit move in us so that we understand who you're calling us to become. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I read this story beginning this week. It made me think about last week. Last week when we came back from our mission trips in Puerto Rico and the Twin Cities, we came back and it was a great week, good mission experience, and we were excited and we were exhausted. Amen? Yes? I see some of our mission trippers. We were excited and we were exhausted. That's exactly where the disciples are in this moment, because they've been on their first mission trip. If we read a little earlier in Mark, Jesus sent them out. He gave them a mission. He said, go into the various villages in the area here and teach and heal and cast out demons. And they have. It went well. And they're exhausted. And so they gather and it tells them they're telling Jesus all about this. And so he can sense their exhaustion and he says, okay, let's get away. Let's just get some quiet time. We need to recharge, if you will. Makes sense. It's a good idea. I definitely, a little bit of time this week, tried to sleep a little more, get a little more quiet and away and to recharge. And that was good. But the disciples don't get much rest. The boat, they make their way around the lake and some the people are following them. You have to wonder at some point when they get to where they want to go, to the secluded place. If they saw all the people on the shore, why did they pull in? Right? If it were me, if I'm on the oars, I'm thinking, you know, Jesus, I think we could just stay out here, don't you? Let's just hang out. And I suspect that may have actually been a part of the conversation, but notice Jesus at one point sees the crowds, and it says he saw them, he had compassion on them, he looked at them as they were sheep without a shepherd. I think Jesus overruled here and said, I know you guys are tired. I know you've given everything you've got, but they need us. They need me. Let's pull in. And so they gather to the lake shore. And while the disciples see this crowd as a problem, Jesus sees it as an opportunity. One commentator put it this way: where Jesus saw a flock of lost sheep, the disciples saw a flock of hungry vultures, right? Oh, this is all problem in their minds, but in Jesus' eyes, it's all opportunity. Sheep without a shepherd are people who need a leader, who need a Lord, and here he is, ready to teach them, to guide them, to provide. But of course, it's going to take something from us, from the disciples. They don't want it to. They want to get off the hook here. They've been giving for their mission trip. They've been doing all they could. Now they just want a break. But there's no break to be had. And Jesus, when the opportunity arises, when they bring the problem to him and say, Jesus, why don't you send the people home? He comes back with the challenge. No. Yeah, we could send them off. We could say, go get something for yourself, get out of here. But Jesus has something else in mind, and he says, no, you give them something to eat. Jesus doesn't let the disciples off the hook. He doesn't let us off the hook. I think it's easy for us, this day as it was in the first century, to see the problems around us in the world and to say, God, you need to take care of that. God, you need to step in over there. God, you need to bring healing. God, you need to bring some food to those people. God, you need to step in. And God says, yeah. So what are you going to do about it? That's part of the challenge of stewardship as Christ's followers. We've been given generously by God whatever we have. The scripture reminds us all good things come from God. But it's not for us alone. And so Jesus challenges the disciples just as he challenges us to say, what will you do with what you have? And I love the disciples. The disciples answer like I would have answered and said, Jesus, what you ask is impossible. There's no way the 12 of us could have enough to feed the thousands, right? The disciples have this mindset of scarcity. We talk about it in these days. A mindset, an attitude of scarcity. Maybe you've experienced this as well when a problem is presented to you. I know it's easy for me to get there. Somebody says, you know, we really, really need to take care of our community. Yeah, but we don't have enough money. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough expertise. We don't have enough. It's easy to go there and to think, I don't have enough. Anybody been there before? I don't have enough, right? I got one daughter in college, another about to go to college, constantly feeling like I don't have enough to make that happen in the finance department, right? And so there's some faith involved here. Where's it going to show up? Scholarship show up. Oh, hooray. But it's easy to get into the mindset of scarcity. We don't have enough. It's because we live in a culture today that is breeding us that way, enculturating us into a mindset of scarcity. You don't have enough. You need to buy this. You need to own this. You need to wear this. And then you'll have enough. But of course, it never will be enough, not in the world standards. And so our challenge is to fight back against that and say, wait a minute. Maybe what I have is enough. I love Jesus' response to the disciples. He says, you give them something to eat, and they say, Lord, it's impossible. 8 months' wages wouldn't even pay for it all. We can't do it. We don't have enough. And Jesus gets to the nitty-gritty of it. He says, well, what do you have? Don't tell me about what you don't have. Tell me about what you do have, Peter, John. What do you have? Go take a look. Take stock. And so they do. And they take inventory, and they find out how much they've got. What? 5 loaves, 2 fish. It's comical, really. I imagine when they bring reports. Well, Jesus, you asked, what do we have? Here's what we've got, Johnny. 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not enough, Jesus. Right? I mean, it seems reasonable to say it's not enough. But I love what Jesus says. Great. 5 loaves, 2 fish. I can work with that. And tells us he blesses it. Broke it and began to pass it out. I don't think it's coincidental that the language here, that he took it, he gave thanks for it, he blessed it, and he broke it, that sounds exactly like what we do in communion. This was, in a way, communion happening before communion is spoke about that way, right? Bread is broken and shared, and people are fed. So this is, in some ways, the first communion going on. But notice, Jesus takes what seems like a little and he makes it enough. And so the question for us is to ask, what do we have? I know it seems like a little. It doesn't seem like enough. That's always going to be the challenge in our modern mindset. I just have this. It's just a little bit. And Jesus says, great. I can work with that. You've got an hour? Terrific. Come help pass out food. It will be enough. You've got some musical talent. Oh, you're not a virtuoso. It's okay. Share what you've got. It's enough. And Kylie shared her French horn playing this morning, and it was beautiful. And it's enough. So we have to take stock as we think about the challenges in our world today, is to see it all and to not get overwhelmed and to say, we don't have enough. Jesus doesn't care about what you don't have. He cares about what you do have, what you have been given, and what will you do with it. It may seem like a little, but a little will be enough, because God gets to take it and multiply it and make it enough. I read a story not too long ago about a World War II bomber crew. They flew B-17s, they were called the Flying Fortresses. A little quirky interest in my own life just around World War II stories. This one caught my eye. One of the crewmen is writing the story, and he said, we were on this bombing run over Germany, and we were getting torn up. And an artillery shell, an anti-aircraft shell, came through and hit our fuel tank, and I thought we were goners. One explosion in the fuel tank, you can imagine. Right? And he said, miraculously, it didn't explode. And I was grateful, and we made it back all the way home. And the next day, he said, the crew chief went to ask about that shell that hit their gas tank. I mean, you had to be curious, right? Should have gone off. We should be dead. And it's sort of like, it was like one of those Paul Harvey stories where you think you might know kind of where it's going, but there's the rest of the story, right? Well, the crew chief said, I got there and talked to the crew, and they had pulled out not just one, but 11 shells from the gas tank. They'd been hit by 11 anti-aircraft shells, and not one of them had exploded. Naturally, intelligence was perplexed and immediately took the shells to investigate. Took a little while to figure out what happened. They got the story a few weeks later. It turns out every one of the shells was empty of explosives. All 11, empty, except for one, had a simple note written in Czech. Nobody spoke Czech. They had to get a translator. Got a translator in and said, what does it say? And it said, this is what little we could do. We hope it's enough. You hope it's enough? Some Czech workers in an ammunition factory in the midst of wartime who knew they had so little to give. What they had was enough to bring life to a B-17 crew. Friends, we never know what little we have will be enough, but God does. And God will provide. God will take that little we have and make something of it. And so today, my question for you as we think about stewardship of our lives, the resources we have, time, our experiences, our talents, our finances, our resources, everything we have, with what we have, while it may seem like a little, take stock of it. What do you have? And know that even if it seems like a little, it is enough for God to use it. If you offer it up to God, you can hold on to it. You can clutch onto it and say, I don't have very much. I can't give of it. But then God can't use it. You have to offer it out. In a few weeks, we're going to have our Wild Works Day. And not all of us are equipped for clearing brush or setting pavers or painting, but there is some way you can take part in that perhaps. And it may seem like just a little, but I can tell you this, for our experience from last year and the homeowners we got to serve with, a little will be enough. And they will be touched by it, and God will use it and say, this is the kingdom flourishing, the kingdom growing. And it may seem like a little, but it's enough. So what do you have today? What do you have that God wants to use and multiply? The disciples had some loaves and fish. It didn't seem like enough. What do you have? Well, Lord, you know each of our stories, each of our lives, and you know what we have. You know what we're gripping on to tightly that we find it hard to let go of. We find it hard to share, hard to give to you. But, Lord, help us to see the ways you might use what little we have. May your Spirit move amongst us and multiply it to make it enough and more than enough. We ask today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we continue to worship and we respond to God's generosity, God's goodness, by giving a little of what we have. We get to do this week by week as we share God's blessings in the giving of our tithes and our gifts, our offering for the day. So come, let us worship. Thank you.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can rule the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.